This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I'm very happy today to interview a longtime friend who has a ministry to build relationships between Christians and Jews and between Christians and the State of Israel in unique ways. His name is Jonathan Feldstein. I've known him, 10 years at least. And we're going to talk about some of the innovative things that he is doing. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Jonathan. I just have so much respect for all that you do. You're different than a lot of the people I've dealt with in my interactions with Israel over the years, and it's just so refreshing the vision that you have to build bridges through what you call a Genesis 1-2-3, which actually is referencing Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And that scripture, as most of my listeners would know, it says, "I will bless them who bless you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed." That's the positive way to do it. It also, of course, says that God will curse those who curse the children of Israel. So with that opening, let me just ask you, what led to your founding this foundation? And more specifically than what I said, what is your goal?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's always great to talk to you, and I appreciate everything that you do and the opportunity to share with you and your listeners. The motivation was back in the late 1980s, I was representing the Israeli Foreign Ministry in Atlanta and sent to a church in Cleveland, Tennessee. Was in my early 20s, a nice Jewish boy from New Jersey, and didn't really know a whole lot about Christians or Christianity, and truthfully had no understanding as to why Christians would care about Israel, much less be excited about Israel. And I attended my first Bless Israel rally either late 88 or 1989, not really sure when, but it's etched into me. And that's where God called me to be a bridge and build bridges between Jews and Christians. And it's something that I've internalized in my life since then. But I've been blessed, as one friend once said to me, to make my vocation my avocation, or vice versa. And so we established the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation 3 years ago, because there everyone, you know this, and everyone who's listening knows, there's an abundant number of organizations, Jewish and Christian, that reach out and appeal to good Christians to give money, and that's of course important, and Bless Israel financially, and I would never ever say not to do that, but I'm opposed to the concept that Christians should be objectified as what I term a faith-based ATM, just trying to get money out with as simple as entering a four-digit PIN code, but not having a relationship. So we're doing that with the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation. We've created a whole host of programs that are not meant to compete with what other people are doing, and not meant to replicate or duplicate or even copy, but we just want to create new mechanisms to do so. So our first big program that we started, unfortunately, was stalled by the pandemic, is Run for Zion, which is the first ever Christian program around the Jerusalem Marathon. So whether someone's a full marathon runner or half marathon or just wants to walk 5 or 10 kilometers, that's Jerusalem here, where I am, is the most significant place that any Christian will find doing that. And we built a whole program around that, which also offers financial incentives and makes it really meaningful. We had one great first year, and then it was paused last year, but I'm praying that next year we will be able to have people come back again. We've created a program called Verses for Zion, which is a wonderful way to connect Christian children with Israel through studying biblical verses that relate to Israel. Nothing more wholesome than that, nothing more grassroots that any Christian parent could or grandparent could want for their children. And so that's been really exciting to see that we can provide substance behind the instinct to bless Israel. And also last year, we created something that has now already spun off. It's been so successful, a program called Inspiration from Zion, where I do webinars and podcasts, interviewing and dialoguing with people here in Israel who have interesting stories relating to Israel that people normally wouldn't even get to see or interact with, even if they were here. And since the tourism has been stalled the last year, most people have not been able to come. So we've had tremendous success. And the last thing, just to say really quickly, because it's actually the most, in a sense, the best for last, that Inspiration from Zion accidentally spun off something called the Global Prayer for Israel, which started last fall during Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, where we hosted an incredible 13-hour nonstop prayer for Israel, beginning in China, including underground churches in China, going all the way till Alaska and Hawaii. And we've now done four of these, each in a different format, but it's an incredible way to connect people with the most common base thing that we have as Jews and Christians together, prayer. And it doesn't cost money. We're not trying to monetize prayer, God forbid. And it's been so exciting the last 3 years to be able to do this, to create new paradigms that just simply didn't exist as a way of expanding the imperative relations that we Jews and Christians have together.
Well, that's so exciting. And I just want to reflect on a few of the things you said. You talked about your not understanding Christian community. I've run into that a lot, including with my own neighbors. I have Jewish neighbors on both sides of me, believe it or not. And, you know, we've become good friends and they have gone to some of the Bless Israel things. In fact, one of them had some Israeli soldiers who are vacationing over here in their home. And they insisted that they attend the event, and they went reluctantly and were blown away.
Sure.
When they walked in the room and we had this huge Israeli flag and this huge American flag, and we sang Hatikva and the Star Spangled Banner, and these Christians got out there and did their funny little Jewish style dances, which actually we do in churches from time to time, and they had never seen anything like that, and they were just absolutely blown away. And, you know, I grew up in a home where we thought that Israel was a fulfillment of prophecy. You know, that prophecy, can a nation be born in a day, and that God had his hand on the Jewish people. That was just a given how I grew up. Then as an adult, I went to Israel for the first time when I was 28 years old. I went with a group of men to climb Mount Sinai, which Israel actually owned at the time. Mm-hmm. It was my first time out of the country.
Wow.
And, you know, we went to Jerusalem, of course, and visited some kibbutzim. And then we drove all the way down to a lot and spent 9 days in the desert, including climbing Jebel Musa, which you may know that name. It's, you know, I learned that there were several Mount Sinais, but that was the And I came home with a deep, deep love for Israel that has affected my entire adult life. And I've taken tours there a few times. In fact, one time, a rather large woman on my tour broke her leg at the David's tomb. And so I learned about Maged Davidin Adom, which means Red Star of David, kind of the Israeli equivalent of our American Red Cross, and spent a lot of time in Hadassah Hospital, as I recall. You know, that's your big hospital there. And years later, was privileged to actually raise money. We had a Bless Israel event, and we wanted to show something, unselfish love that wasn't political and wasn't proselytizing. And we thought, you know, what could we do better than to buy an ambulance? And that's what we did. We bought an ambulance for Maged David Adom. And they asked me, what do we want to put on the door? I hadn't really thought about it. We were raised it through a Christian nonprofit called Christian Life Missions. They said that they'd put Charisma Magazine on it. They said they'd put my name on it. I said, I'm not interested in any of that. I want you to put from Christian friends in the United States and just leave it at that and let people wonder. I wonder what motivated those people to do that. But it's been long enough ago that the ambulance is actually out of service. But I think I originally got to know you somehow through that organization. I haven't had a whole lot of dealings with them more recently, but you know, you become a friend and you're always so interesting and pleasant to be around. I mean, you're just a wonderful bridge builder. But tell us about some of the innovative things. I guess you talked about the run in Jerusalem. That's pretty innovative. And you reach out in lots of ways. I guess the prayer meeting on live stream or whatever it's called on Zoom, maybe.
Yeah. So they've been so successful, and I'm honest enough. You know, I credit everything to God anyway, and I'm honest enough to say that we really stumbled into that. And it's funny how that happened. There, in one of our Inspiration from Zion programs that we scheduled during the summer, we do these on a regular basis. Two, maybe three times a month, a pastor from Pakistan contacted me. We become friendly now. And she said, can I pray on you, or can I pray at the end of your program? Can I pray for Israel? I said, well, it's really not, the program that we were doing really wasn't structured, but that's where God put on my heart this amazing idea. Well, of course, why don't we get Christians from all over the world to come and pray with us? And so she did in Pakistan, of all places, a country, a Muslim country that we do not have diplomatic relationships. And I know, remember, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I know this. Of course, you and your Christian listeners know it. Christians are not well received in most of the Islamic world. So I know that she's putting her life on the line physically just by avowing her faith, much less praying for Israel and supporting Israel. And then it was the underground church in China that made a video public declaring not just their faith, but declaring their support for Israel as an integral pillar of their faith. And we had Christians from India praying and throughout Africa, and we're building up a whole new program in Africa now with pastors from, I don't know, 15, 20 different countries. It's so inspiring and exciting to me, and relating to what you were saying about your neighbors and others, Jews who don't know and don't understand why Christians would do this. So I've also had the privilege of hosting tour buses here in my neighborhood, in my community, to come and visit, to come for Shabbat and have meals, and we divide them up among Jewish families. My friends who are deeply curious on one hand and want to dip their toe in the water with the building bridges and creating relations with Christians, but also look at me, I like to say, with three raised eyebrows, saying, Jonathan, what are you doing? And why is this whole thing with Christians? Don't they all have an ulterior motive? Don't they this? And what about what the church did to that? And my line is very simple. We have much, much more in common. There's some bad history, but I'm talking about the present and the future. And we have much, much more in common than which divides us. And that's for a whole separate theological conversation, not to get in or belittle or diminish any of that. But we worship the same God, and he's the only God, and we're the only people who worship God. And we understand, just as you said, the significance of the establishment of the state of Israel, that God promised it, and he delivered on that promise 2,000 years after our dispersal. And we pray to that God, we worship that God, we understand the significance of the history, the shared biblical history, that there's just so much of a foundation. And so I share, bear witness, not in the way that most Christians will use the phrase, but I bear witness to my Jewish friends. No, we have an obligation. These are Steve Strang and everyone who Steve Strang represents are dear, close friends with unconditional love and support. And for Jews, 2,000 years, it takes us a long time to understand that there's not secretly someone trying to kill us or burn the Torah or replace us. And this is what motivates me. And it's, for me, every day when I wake up, it's not just a job, it's a blessing. I love it. I'm thankful to God for giving me this opportunity to be his advocate doing what I do.
And you do it so well. And, you know, we could do a deep dive if we had time on some of the things you were mentioning. You know, there's been violence down through history. You know, the Palestinians still harken back to the way the land of Canaan was taken away from them. Of course, we believe that God, you know, had promised it to Abraham and that there was a plan and purpose for what happened. We're not ashamed. We're not proud at all. We're ashamed of the unpleasant relationship between Christians and Jews, but we like to believe that they weren't real believers in Jesus. They were Christians in name only.
Sure.
And most of it predated Protestantism, and I'm a Protestant. Today, there's almost, in my circles at least, a deep appreciation, if not deep love, for all things Israeli and Jewish, even if we don't totally understand it. And it, you know, I've told Jewish friends and others that going back to Israel, I feel like I'm going home, even though I'm not Jewish and have no Jewish background. I feel like I'm going home because that's where it all started. It all started with the Hebrew scriptures. Our understanding of who God is comes from the Hebrew scriptures. We know Moses and David and Joseph and Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. These are like friends to us. You know, right. We know them more than we know the names of past presidents of the United States. 39 of our 66 books in our Bible is, you know, the Hebrew scriptures. And, you know, I could go on and on and on. Christianity was actually a Jewish sect for 200 years. Right. Jesus was a Jew. All of his disciples were Jewish. I could go on and on. And, you know, frankly, we believe that our New Testament talks about one new man, blending Jew and Christian, or Jew and Gentile. And, you know, there was a break, and then Christianity, of course, became the state religion, replacing the Roman Empire. It's the only thing left of the Roman Empire, is Roman Catholic Church. Think about it.
That's and right.
It was the Romans. They burned Christians like torches.
That's right.
Like candles. I mean, and the crucifixions were barbaric. And it wasn't just Jesus. They crucified everybody that stood up to them, and they lined the roads with the crosses to intimidate the rest of the public. And you talk about people that are brave in Pakistan and China, and we're so thankful for that. But, you know, those early Christians who stood up to that. You know, we could go on and on, but I'm just so glad that you are building these bridges. I think they're very important. Next time I come to Israel, I want to go to one of those Shabbat, invite myself and meals.
You're invited. You're invited.
I've only done that a few times. I actually had Passover Seder at the home of one of the conservative rabbis in my area who I'd become friends with through the Knights to Honor Israel.
Sure.
And it was very meaningful. And he was asking all these questions like, why do we have bitter herbs? And it was because, you know, the bitterness and on and on. And he said, how do you know these answers? And I said, well, I read the book. I didn't know all the answers, but I just, and there was so much, of course, we didn't really talk about that night, but there was just so much symbolism that was meaningful to me personally as a Christian. And I'm proud to call myself a Zionist, Christian Zionist.
Sure.
And there's this museum, which undoubtedly you've been to, Friends of Zion Museum in Jerusalem. Mike Evans is the one who founded it. He's a friend of mine.
Right.
And it tells the story, which I've actually lectured on in different settings, of how in some ways Christian Zionism predated or influenced Jewish Zionism. And, you know, a lot of these people are kind of forgotten, but they influenced the United States government. There were proclamations from Canada, like in the 1880s with President Harrison, and some, you know, it was kind of in that era. And even there was a minister named George Bush, who wrote a book in the 1840s that sold over a million copies about how the Jews needed to have their homeland, and that George Bush is related to our two presidents named George Bush.
Wow.
And he's featured in that museum. I was kind of surprised. I'd read about him before, but he wasn't a direct descendant. He was like Uncle George. So they're like their great grandfather several times back was his brother. But I believe that, you know, they picked up the name George from Uncle George, and it came down to our president. So, I mean, a lot of Jews don't know that story, and a lot of Christians don't know those kinds of stories. But I'm proud to be a Zionist. I tell anybody I'm a Zionist. And in fact, I had a Jewish attorney once, and we were having lunch and talking about this, and he said, you're more Zionist than I am. And it was probably true. He was just kind of a secular Jew, if you know what I mean. and didn't take all that seriously. But I'll tell you, going back to Mount Sinai, where it all began, I climbed to the tip top. I have a picture of me on the highest rock. The mountain is a bunch of rocks. I mean, it's not like the Rocky Mountains here. It's just very different. And we sat up there, or I sat up there for several hours just after sunrise, you know, reading the passages in scripture about 10 commandments and so forth. It was one of the most meaningful experiences of my entire life. And I've always wanted to go back, and I've always been told that it's much too dangerous. And now I'm probably much too old. I was 28 then, and I'm a whole lot older than that now. But anyway, this conversation and our friendship just brings these, you know, these memories back. And I'm always happy to promote building bridges between Jews and Christians. And I'm so happy for what you do. And as we wrap up this short podcast, I want you to tell people how they can stay in touch with you and Genesis 1:2-3. And also, I'd like to give you the last word.
Thank you. Well, first of all, we're proud, and I'm proud and grateful to have you as a friend personally, and everything that you understand and do for Israel. Also, you gave me the privilege, it's at least a decade ago, of writing for Charisma, and my articles appear on your website with great regularity, and I'm grateful for that, just as giving me that extra opportunity to build bridges. Anyone who wants to be in touch, to contact me, learn more about the Genesis 1:2-3 Foundation, can visit our website, genesis123.co, or contact me through all of our social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We have Genesis 1:2-3 sites there. The email that I go by that is easiest for people to remember, and which is publicized in Charisma, is my personal one, firstpersonisrael@gmail.com, which is for me to be able to give that voice. And I welcome that. We have during Passover another global Passover prayer for Israel and many activities coming up. Certainly when you're back and when your listeners are back, I'd love to connect with you here. And maybe I want to wrap up just by reminding you of something that I didn't even think of going into our conversation today, but I remembered it as you were speaking. Some years ago, you and I sat in the lobby of your hotel in Jerusalem. It actually got quite late at night. It was a real privilege to have that time fellowshipping together. And you gave me a copy of an article. If I remember correctly, it was from a precursor of Charisma magazine from 1947. And it lent to the conversation we just had about Jews not knowing why Christians support Israel and the history of that, that in fact, yes, in many ways, Christian Zionism predates Jewish Zionism. And you gave me a copy of this article. I don't remember the name of the author, but I'm sure you remember which one I'm speaking of now. The author is standing on the docks in Haifa, watching Jewish survivors from the Holocaust come back or trying to come back, while the British still occupied what was then called Palestine, and expressing his unabashed support. And I understood that, but it was so important for you to give me that article. And I have to tell you, I've shared that with people dozens of times, not just the story that I've shared with you verbally now, but I've made copies of that article and I've shared it with people dozens of times because it is so important. It does document basically the foundation of all the reason why we're having this conversation. And I'm so grateful to you and Charisma and everything you do. You're a blessing in my life, and may God continue to give you strength and health for many years to come.
Well, thank you. And I do remember that article. And if I remember right, it was from 1947, which was even before, yes, you know, a few months before Israel was formed. And it shows that back in that era, I don't remember it being like, you know, what we would consider a real fancy article. It looks really, really dated with the photos and the way they did the headline and everything. But, you know, it's authentic. It's absolutely authentic. And it shows that in that era of what Christians were doing and saying, and you're right, it did predate Charisma. I wasn't born at that time. And Robert Walker, my late friend and mentor, who started Christian Life magazine, Christian Life Missions, which is actually the nonprofit that I'm president of, that I referred to briefly earlier. But he was one of the founders with Yekiel Eckstein a Fellowship of Christians and Jews, one of the original board members. I sat next to Yekiel at his funeral in 2007. I mean, he was an early, early supporter of Israel. He came the last time he ever got on an airplane before he got way too sick. He died at 96, was to fly to Orlando to be at one of our Knights Honor Israel that John Hagee spoke at. I had invited him, and it was important for him to come. And, you know, we didn't really talk too much about what was going on in 1947, as I recall, but I was aware of those kinds of things. And he was a journalist in his day. Of course, magazines were, you know, television was barely around. Radio was big. Magazines and newspapers were big. But that's how he communicated and just covered Jewish and Christian relationships. And in a way, I've carried on that heritage, although my love of Israel predates my even really getting to know him very well and all the things we worked together. But I'm glad that you mentioned that article. I'm glad it's been a blessing to you. I do remember giving it to you, and I remember sitting in the hotel late. It seemed to me that you invited me to a Shabbat, some kind of event, but I just couldn't stay. I think it was right around maybe the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot.
That my memory isn't good enough, but I remember our time together and how late it got and how I felt I was taking time that you needed. But I mean, I can still picture exactly where we were sitting, everything. It was a very special time that I had with you, and tremendous blessing.
Well, thank you. Well, actually, I probably had jet lag, so I was still in New York time. Oh, it probably didn't feel that late to me. But anyway, you're nice to bring it up. And this podcast has gone on a little longer, but it's just two friends catching up and having a conversation about something that's very important to each of us. So thank you very much, Jonathan Feldstein of Genesis 1-2-3, based in Jerusalem. We're actually doing this as a Zoom call from Jerusalem. It's amazing what technology allows us to do nowadays. And thank you to my listeners for tuning in. Share this with people, especially people that you know love Israel, or maybe someone who, maybe you have a Jewish friend who doesn't understand the connection, and maybe our conversation today would be illuminating to them in some way. And then, of course, tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report podcast. I just looked at the numbers this morning. It won't be long until we hit 10 million downloads. I'll have to celebrate when that rolls around. And be sure to share it. That's how the podcast continues to grow. I'm Stephen Strang. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.